hermoso. Oh, it's not enough.
Hey, good evening, Council. I know people are just walking in from CAC, but I'd like to get going because we have a fairly full agenda for today. So I will call this meeting to order at 6:02 p.m. Please just take your seats. Okay, so as always, we'll begin with the treaty, sorry, traditional territory acknowledgements. The University of Alberta and the University of Alberta Students' Union occupy Indigenous land in Amiskwichi, Waskayagan, or Beaver Hills House on Treaty 6 territory. From time immemorial, the banks along the river valley have been known as the Pohonan, a meeting place for the Nahiowak, the Nitsapi, Métis, Dene Sutlene, Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and others. The university, the students' union, and much of the city are located on the unlawfully stolen land of the forcibly removed Papas Chase Cree. We acknowledge that sharing this land gives each of us the responsibility to research the historic contexts of Treaty 6. To reflect on our personal relationships to the land, the nations we've named, and to our roles in upholding justice on this territory. Since they began, the Students' Union and the university have benefited from the historic and ongoing dispossession of land and resources from Indigenous peoples. As a result, it is our responsibility to seek the restitution. My apologies, I lost my spot. The restitution of this land and its resources. Finally, we seek to do better by working to make our learning, research, and governance align with the histories, languages, teachings, and cultures of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples in the land presently occupied by the Canadian state. We encourage critical reflection by asking the following question. In relation to the territory on which you are situated, what role do you play in strengthening the resistance and resurgence of Indigenous students within your communities? Before we move on to speakers' business, we'll start with attendance. Just bear with us for one moment. Christian Fotang,
Here.
Pedro Almeida, Chris Beasley, Levi Flamin,
EC.
Michael Griffiths,
Here.
Stephen Raitz, Ellen Tam, Adrian Lam,
Here.
Mason Pish,
Present.
Nathan Teeson,
Here.
Muniba Kadir, Amir Mohammed,
Proxy present.
Damon Atwood,
Present.
Elma Alahi, Jillian Eisenstadt,
Here.
Noor Abdelwahab,
Here.
Laurel Ford,
Here.
Megan Garbutt,
Here.
and I am present. I don't believe we have Mark, but we do have Jacob, and Pedro is here. We can record that. Oh, sorry, Precious. Did I miss you? Precious?
Yeah, present.
Okay, sorry, that's my bad. That's an error on my sheet, actually. We'll make sure that that's correct. Okay, so thank you for the attendance. We'll move into speakers' business. First off, big welcome to our first meeting of the winter trimester of council, our last trimester together. Since it's the start of the trimester, we have two membership changes to announce. So first, I'm happy to announce that Ellen Tam is joining council as a representative from the Faculty of, sorry, Agricultural, Life and Environmental Sciences. Yes, so welcome, Ellen. I'm also very sad to announce that Ayman Saif, an engineering counselor, has submitted her resignation from council. The resignation takes effect as of this announcement. And a big thank you to Ayman for your contributions in the last 8 months. So another round of applause. Last up, we do have two items on the late additions for today. The first concerns a presentation from the Chief Returning Officer on the election advertising strategy. That late addition will be accepted as it's required in our legislation. The other late addition is a motion relating to bylaw first principles to change the dedicated fee unit petition requirements. This cannot be accepted as it would not cause significant harm to the SU or violate our legislation. I do know that for one of the DFUs to move forward, this is needed though. So at this point in time, a motion from the floor to suspend the rules to allow the motion would be in order. Is that the motion? Okay. Do I have a seconder, please? Okay, I see Laurel. So this is just to allow the item on the agenda. This is relating to the first principles relating to DFU petition requirements. We'll move straight into a vote on this one. All those in favor, please make it known by a show of hands or placards. Those in favor. Okay, thank you. Please lower. All those opposed. I think Fotang is a remnant. Okay, thank you, Council. With 15 in favor and none opposed, that motion is carried and the item will be included on the agenda. Courtney? Yes, it was Laurel Ford. Okay, so that brings us to the end of speakers' business and to the consent agenda. Just because we have some membership changes, I'll take some time to explain our agenda process a little more than I normally would. The consent agenda is basically a place for non-contentious items that can be approved in bulk without any debate. If any member of council thinks that debate is required and an individual vote, they can just raise their placard and say, I would like this item to be removed from the consent agenda. So with that being said, are there any objections or concerns with the consent agenda? It just includes the minutes from our last... Oh, sorry, we actually don't have a consent agenda today. So yeah, so the minutes will be available for the next Students' Council meeting. Oh, yes. Thank you, Levi. I'm a little scatterbrained today. Thank you, Levi, for reminding me. Since it's the first meeting of the trimester, we also will retake our oath of office at today's meeting. So I will just ask you all to repeat after me. I will go slow and break it up. You don't have to use the speakers. That would get very loud. I am not here for me. I am here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise. I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind. I will vote after knowing the facts, not before. I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own. I will oppose ideas, not people. I will think before I speak, not speak just to think. I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all. I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own. I am not here for me. Okay, thank you very much. And now we'll move on to the next section of business, which is presentations. The first is to allow KPMG to present the 2022-23 UASU's audit finding report. Nathan?
Mr. Speaker, there will not be a presentation today because there is a conflict on KPMG's end, the one who is to present. However, I do not believe there is a need for a presentation in depth because the presentation was provided in order papers as well as the extended report, and there was no matters of serious concern. The only one that is worth noting is the one about capital asset additions and disposals and amortization may not have been appropriately recorded in their financial records. However, the significant findings in that it has been rectified. So again, there's no serious concerns to the UASU or to the students we represent. And I do not know whether it's appropriate to motion to approve the KPMG audit findings at this time.
I think I'm going to ask that it come to the next meeting. If I'm correct, I believe it just has to be done by the end of the fiscal year. I take it that there's no serious findings, but I think it would be good for council to have some time to review it and know that they're going to be making that decision before that decision is made. So yes, please submit it to the next order paper. So given that KPMG was unable to attend, that motion will be withdrawn and we'll move to the next item, which is the presentation from our lovely Chief Returning Officer on the election office's advertising strategy. Is there any objection to this presentation proceeding? Okay, while we get this set up, Michael, would you like to briefly introduce?
I think Jacob could probably introduce it better.
Okay. If you would like to provide a brief introduction just while we get the slides ready.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, everyone. It's that time of the year again where my job becomes very relevant to you guys. So it's basically the advertising strategy of what we want for the general and council elections, which is going to be taking place in the next couple months. And yeah, like most of it is just like the elections office just wants to have some feedback from council so we can make the final changes and adjustments before we release the packages.
Okay, take it away when you're ready.
Okay, hey everyone. This is the presentation that we've like made. Like the best way that I could talk about it is I'm just going to go to the general idea of what is going to be done in this general council election. The best way we strategize for this election is what we did in the by-election, because that's the best way of like the elections office of understanding what we need. And we had the highest fill seats for what GFC and student council for this, like after the by-election, which was a good sign from us. And we found that the use of social media has really helped us compared to previous years. And that was very comforting to know that a lot of students at the university actually interacted with our SU accounts. I think the best way that we like kind of like figure that out is that I used to ask candidates like, hey, like, how did you come to find out for like the SU and the GFC and stuff like that? And they were like social media, and big ups for Marks and Comms for that. So the best way I like normally accomplish goals is to like three main questions. So in this one, we were going to be like, what are we doing for social media this year? Why are we feeling like this election is going to be popular than before? And how are we engaging other campuses of U Alberta? Okay, for the next one, like Marks and Comms has like we couldn't fit into this because Marks and Comms like created like I think 101 like things that they want to like post for this elections. And we have like an extensive breakdown of what is going to be posted. And I can like we can bring that up if we need to like later at the end of the meeting, because it is also an elections drive, so we can show it over. But yeah, like they're broken down to Reels, TikToks, Instagram, etc. And if you would like more information about a certain topic to be posted after we show you the table, you could just like let Marks and Comms, because Jillian is more than excited to add more things for this elections. Why I feel like this general election will be bigger than the previous years. I feel like the new theater is going to be a major attraction for students to come and see. I remember the last time I was in that theater was in my first year watching a Halloween movie, and I'm a fifth year now, so it's been a while since we've been there. I know most of the members might not have seen the inside, but I think this would be, it would make at least students interested to see what is inside the new theater. And I feel like having one of the first events in this new theater is going to help the SUs at least for at least the general election. The next thing is, I also feel with the chaos which is going around in the world, students will be looking to the new execs to see what their plans are for helping out the students and how they plan to efficiently use SU resources for these issues. And now perks. Even though we don't think it's being used a lot of students have been using perks, as if you can see in the SU like accounts which that they post, it's I think at an all-time high. And this is kind of good. Now the engagement, having a DRO which works strongly with the CSG community, they felt like the elections isn't as like prominent in those parts. So we feel like all our posters and election results, we're going to try translating them into French and helping like the Francophone community. I know the next question that everyone's going to be asked is like, why aren't the nomination packages in French? I did ask this, but John says it takes months, and they did it once. And they're trying to salvage as much as information that they got from like the previous nomination packages and like try to use it. However, I will be putting in my transition documents to ensure that it starts more in the summer, because it's not something that we can do it like, we can't Google translate it because it's going to sound completely wrong. Also, the new DRO, and I believe that we will need to have forums from all like the campuses which are at U Alberta, because we feel like we're going to have candidates for like from all of those campuses, and we do not feel like it's fair just to have it just on the main campus. And finally, this is the thing where we kind of needed feedback from. So an election party, or like the results party is a better term for it, for like the general and council elections, and what time you would like these results to be posted, and the social media platforms that should be allowed for the elections. But right now we feel like Instagram and Facebook are totally valid options for it to be posted on. However, we just feel like X/Threads, we do not have any mods or anything which are going there for at least the U Alberta accounts, so it'll be very hard for at least the elections office to like monitor that. And a complaint that was previously given to the elections office is that they felt like the U Alberta mods on Reddit were very biased towards certain candidates and not towards others. So again, it is what we like. I need feedback from council because I do not want to make a decision which is going to like wreck elections for everyone else. And that's about it. And yeah, that is it for my presentation.
Thank you, Jacob. So at this point, we'll open it up to questions, comments on the presentation you just received. Is anyone wishing to speak? Going once. Oh, Adrian.
Hey, hi. Thank you, Jacob, for the presentation. Just one thing I wanted to note is that with like these social media platforms, I totally agree. There are certain ones that shouldn't be used, there's certain ones that shouldn't. I would just maybe also just draw attention to the fact that now Instagram's bigger company Meta has launched its own version of Twitter, which might also need to be evaluated because I know people who use both in conjunction to one another because your Fred's account links to your Instagram and vice versa. So that might be something that needs to be taken into consideration as well. But yeah, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, that was I think it's called Threads or something. It's like X and Threads, which are like kind of like linked to each other. Because obviously, if we like ban one, we're going to ban the other and we're going to like specify it on like the nomination, like the packages. But again, yeah, we need like kind of like information of what you guys at the end of the day want in this elections, because the elections officer doesn't want to make a decision that goes against council.
Thank you. Any further, Pedro?
Is there a way that the counselors can give you feedback over the next like week, or how would you prefer that feedback for you, Jacob?
Yeah, like I'm totally fine with like union counselors messaging me about like how they feel about this other situation, even if they don't want to bring it up now. However, it like kind of needs to be sooner-ish rather than later. I know I was supposed to submit this advertisement strategy in December, but I was really sick and in the hospital, so that was my bad. But yes.
Okay. Is there a follow-up?
I was just, not a follow-up, but just a connection. This connects very much with the CAC form that was talked about, and you can provide that feedback there, and that will also be sent to Jacob.
Okay, any further questions or comments? I see Adrian again. Any first-time speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to Adrian.
Yeah, sorry. It's my bad. Just a second comment I'd like to make. You mentioned like the part about like, do you think election results kind of event is this as like necessary? I just want to bring forward my point of view as an Augustana student. Travel is difficult. And I know, especially like that campaign season, if Augustana students run, is also already very difficult because we have to, if we wanted to run, we would have to spend 1, if not 2 weeks away from our classes, which is not the ideal. And so it's just not as inclusive to us down here. But yeah, that is just one point I did want to make regarding that topic. And I guess about elections in general, they're not really geared for any Augustana involvement for the most part, unfortunately.
Thanks, Adrian, for that question. Yeah, we do know like Augustana and CHA haven't gotten the engagement. That is why it is mine and the new DRO's mission to get you guys involved. The reason why we're trying to have this election, like we haven't decided if we want an election party, not as of yet, but it's more for example, if Augustana member like got like voted in as an exec, it's like a way for you guys to like engage with the new execs that you will be working with soon. And it's just like in a non-formal setting. We have also gotten like conversation where it's like, yeah, if we like submit the results on like 12 the next day, the new execs, for example, will like just like come together themselves in a like informal setting. But it's just more of like the elections office is trying to provide that avenue for you guys to like mingle. But if you guys do not want it, it's like less work for us. So it's fine on us, but it's just more like what council wants at the end of the day.
Okay, I see Pedro, but are there any other first-time speakers? Okay, Pedro, please go ahead.
One important consideration as well is that the if there is an event to happen when you're thinking about this, an event essentially means the results are delayed until the time of the event, which means that like Jacob can go into detail more about this, but it's like if the results for the council election were ready by noon the day after voting ended, and an event is set to happen at 6, you have to wait until 6 to find out, which can be a little anxiety inducing. And the timeline, and then, but if you know, if you're really wanting to have that event, then obviously that's fine. But if you're not expecting to have a lot of engagement at it, then it makes sense to maybe not want to do that, just for consideration.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Jacob. Yeah, and I actually, like Jacob said, reach out sooner than later if you have any thoughts come up after the meeting. I believe it's just cro@uasu.ca.
Oh, you can also just WhatsApp me. I'm also in the group chat, so
Yeah.
anything's fine.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. So that brings us to the end of presentations for today's meeting. So we'll move into reports. I believe the executives do have some oral reports. So we'll start with Michael. Please go ahead.
Yeah, nothing too major for me this week, folks. Just getting back into the swing of work. A lot of committee meetings are first of the semester or trimester, sorry, this week. And then myself and Christian and Levi have also been working a little bit in the mandatory non-instructional fee joint oversight committee, which is yeah, trying to keep the governance in line as best we can. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have, I believe it's Levi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, Council. Long time no see. How's it going? I'm posting a link in the WhatsApp chat to our new work in progress deals and discounts page, which is now live. I am absolutely thrilled that this is up, as this was one of my cap point campaign platform points this year, is to get something like this up and running. There's not a whole lot there yet. Like I said, work in progress. And only because there is a number of opportunities out there that we've been presented with, but rather than just throw them up, I've taken it upon myself to personally vet and make sure the information is still accurate before they go live. But on the top of that page, you'll see there's a line there. Are there any student deals you know about that we missed, or did you run into an expired deal? Let us know. So I'm not above crowdsourcing and populating that list further. So if there's anything that you know of that you don't see, drop us a line. Second, earlier today, I had the first meeting of the washroom schematic design meeting where Arc Studio came in. We explained the, I mean, they already put a bid on it, so they have a kind of the gist of the idea, but we kind of expanded a little bit on what we're working on. We tossed around some ideas, and now we'll be starting to do some consultations on what our stakeholders actually want out of that space too, so that when they come back with the first round of schematics, we can tweak those and hopefully still maintain our construction timeline. And that's probably the two most pressing things.
Okay, thank you, Levi. That brings us to Chris. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Speaker. So I had the opportunity today to have a meeting with the critic for mental health and addictions, MLA Janet Aramenko. So we talked a little bit about the mental health grant that we received from Advanced Education, along with like culturally supportive care practices and what funding level we'd need for the university to be able to adequately deliver those. As well, I'm gearing up to really push some media narratives around international work hours and making sure that those continue to be uncapped following April 30th, the deadline that Minister Miller has set federally for that. And I'm doing some strategic planning as well for what CAWS wants to do between now and then the Alberta budget drop day, which is when I find out. what money we get for next year.
Okay, thank you very much, Pedro.
Yes, since being back, there's been a little bit of work. I would say that some of the things that we are looking forward to are the ZTC numbers for winter coming out and then showcasing how things have played out and the efforts that have been made from the executives and how that's working. Fall 2024, for as a quick reminder, was the highest ZTC proportion of all time since the program was implemented, and we're hoping to have relatively successful results. I am hoping there are relatively successful results for winter 2024 as well. Did I say fall 2024 or fall 2023? May the minutes reflect that I meant fall 2023. Outside of that, there's work expected, the academic integrity policy suite that came to council to be adopted. And yeah, if there's any questions on the academic front, please just come chat after, but there should be more in the report, hopefully in 2 weeks.
Thank you. And finally, Christian.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Council, and Happy New Year. Just a small update on some of the things I've been doing. Last week, had a meeting with the Cause Policy Committee to work on causes, bylaws, and policies, as well as tomorrow we'll be having a JFC APC meeting. So had a couple prep meetings for that. Another thing I believe just want to point Council's attention to is, as most of you are aware, on December 18th, there was a fire that occurred in the high voltage electrical vault in the Humanities Center, which led to the widespread contamination from the fire, which has also now led to the building being closed for the remainder of winter 2024 semester. This building obviously housed a lot of classrooms, student spaces, as well as offices of a number of departments and dean's offices, as well as, most importantly, contained the arts undergraduate student services, where a lot of students went to seek academic advising or changes to their programs. So it's very incredibly important that, you know, these services are relocated so that students continue to rely and get the supports that they need with minimizing service interruptions. But also it housed Oasis's office as well. So I've been meeting with Hussein, president of Oasis, to kind of talk about what supports they need and where we can provide help in making sure that, whether it's communication or with the university or with students, we can provide that. I was able to just kind of gently hand them off to the facilities and operations office, where they can just be kept up to date consistently as changes come. And I know Chris was also able to support and just help me prepare with any media that came their way. Also, an important thing to know is that all 237 impacted classes have been relocated to spaces on North Campus, with the exception of six. All classes are in classrooms or seminar rooms. The remaining six are currently being assigned to a computer lab or as an interim solution. I believe the university is working to prepare appropriate classroom spaces for those folks, and instructors will be receiving additional information. And in regards to kind of accessing, you know, laptops or the kinds of resources that folks might have left in the building, it is our understanding that between January 8th and 12th, you know, time will be made for folks to come in and, you know, grab what they have or what's considered most haves and retrieve those within those upcoming times. And more updates will be, are continuing to be provided to us. But yeah, we'll be continuing to send information as it comes our way, recognizing that this has been a very stressful and anxiety inducing thing for a lot of art students. And I look to Mason and Nathan if you have any questions. Happy to answer it, but honestly, I'm also just happy to pair you off to FNO because they will have a lot of that information. That's where we're getting it from.
Okay, thank you, executives, for your reports. We'll move to boards and committees of council. Are there any boards or committees that have reports? Any members of council have reports for today's meeting? Jill?
Pas de rapport, mais je tente à souhaiter bonne chance aux étudiants qui représentent l'Université de l'Alberta Campus Saint-Jean au jeu de la science politique au Sherbrooke, Québec, cette fin de semaine. Leur engagement, ça réaffirme vraiment la force et le talent des étudiants francophones de l'Université de l'Alberta, et ça réaffirme aussi l'importance de l'éducation en français partout au Canada au niveau secondaire. Et for everybody else, I wish good luck to the students at Campus Saint-Jean that are going to Sherbrooke, Quebec to represent the University of Alberta, and the Francophone students of University of Alberta. their force and their talent, their strengths. It you know, affirms University of Alberta's engagement to providing post-secondary education in French, and it kind of reaffirms the importance of it. And they'll be rivaling other huge universities of 40,000 students that only speak French, and hopefully bringing home the cup. So.
Thank you, Jill, and good luck to the team. Are there any other reports from members of council? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to open forum. Are there any students in attendance wishing to ask questions or make statements at today's meeting? Prometheus, please go ahead.
Hello, Prometheus, P-R-O-M-E-T-H-E-U-S. I am making a statement. On June 22nd, 2022, The Gateway posted the article, Ukrainian President Speaks with U of A and Canadian Post-Secondary Students Across the Country by Martin Bendico. Within this article, it highlights the presence of Christian Fotang as the Vice President External, present there as the U of A Students Union representative. So I am as speaking on behalf of the students here who have been trying to speak on behalf of Palestine and trying to get some justice and peace in the Middle East. We do not accept the excuse that Christian Fotang does not know what was going through the students' union's mind during the Russia's invasion of Ukraine. When we are making the comparisons between the disparity between how the students' union has acting with Ukraine and how it's acting with Palestine, we cannot accept that it is not known by this council what was going on when they made that decision. It was explicitly known and participated in by members of this council here. So we do not accept it, nor will we accept that people did not know this. You do not forget meetings with the president of a nation. Thank you.
Thank you for your statements. Are there any other students wishing to make statements or ask questions at today's meeting? Any other students? Second round, Prometheus.
Prometheus again, this is another statement. This one is regarding a response to the statement that was made questioning why the Students' Union can't refer to what is going on in Palestine as a genocide. The Students' Union has previously, they stated that they can't do it because the Students' Union doesn't have a power to decide what is and is not a genocide. The Students' Union has previously posted a news source, November 28th, 2019, statements on genocide denial by a new University of Alberta lecturer from UASU President Akanksha Bhatnagar. During this time, it mentions the genocide denial by a professor regarding the Holodomor Soviet genocide. As much as I'm not going to be here to state whether it was or was not a genocide, the fact is that it has not been brought to the International Criminal Court, nor has it been brought to any court of law whatsoever to decide whether it was or was not a genocide. And so this was a perfect example of the Students' Union deciding that something is a genocide and making a statement on it. So we would like the Students' Union, the Students' Council, to be able to call what is happening in Palestine a genocide. And if you're going to use this as an excuse to try and withdraw your previous statements, then know that that is what you are doing, and you are going to have to speak to the Ukrainian Student Society about this. That's not what we are asking. Thank you.
Thank you for your statement. Are there any other students wishing to ask statements? Ask questions or make statements? Okay. And just so the room is aware, I don't know if we've come to this point, just given the volume of students attending, but students receive 3 speaking turns for open forum. So if there's a third speaking turn, you are welcome to use it, but just know that it is the final one. Is there a third? Okay, Prometheus.
All right, this one will then be a question. So this will be for Christian Fotang. So we just want to return the question again. Why can you or why can the Students' Council not refer to the ongoing events in Palestine as a genocide?
Thanks for your question, Prometheus. Questions in regards to why can't, you know, the Students' Council make a decision, I will leave for council to have the opportunity to have a discussion and make that decision for itself. I do want to take the opportunity to make it clear that in regards to, you know, my attendance when President Zelensky was speaking to members of, you know, Ukrainian students on campus, I was invited in the capacity to share the resources and supports that the student union has and can offer to recently arrived Ukrainian student refugees. Happy to show you the emails and recognize that in that sense, I didn't say that I can't, I didn't say that I don't know where I was, what I was doing, but certainly that it is wasn't my job. I wasn't the president of that team. I will leave it for the past president to be able to speak on the decisions of that team. I am the president of this team. That being said, I'm also beholden to this council, and whatever this council instructs me to say, I will be the spokesperson for that. But until then, I do not like the reframing or appearance that I am lying or somehow misrepresenting facts to council or to students.
Hey, thank you. Are there any further statements or questions from students? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the end of open forum and we'll move into question periods. Are there any members of council, councillors or executives wanting to ask questions or make statements to other members of council? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the end of a very short question period. So we'll move to unfinished business. This is business that was on an order paper for a previous meeting, but we were unable to consider. So the first motion is the motion to approve the first principles of the UASU's quality academics policy. I'll look to Pedro to introduce this item.
Sorry, yes, the quality academics policy. First principles were approved at the USU Policy Committee last year, but because of the extended meeting times, they have been postponed until today. Honestly, at this time, I would also like to give a huge, huge shout out to both Abdul and Nathan who helped overseeing the process of the creation of these first principles. Honestly, this work could not have been done without them. And for that, I'm really, really grateful. Essentially, as a quick introduction to it as well, the USU's Quality Academics is an attempt by the USU Policies Committee to consolidate the policies that the UASU has. I think it's something like 27. Someone can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just a lot. And there's been a couple policies that have been identified that have very similar or similar topics that they cover, such as the student financial aid and support and the scholarships policy and the scholarships and bursaries policy, which is why the first principles for the student financial aid support policy indicated that those were going to be combined. A similar approach is being taken here with the USU's quality instruction policy and the USU's assessment and grading policy. And yeah, just combining them, everything is kind of outlining there, wanting to make it a little bit more streamlined without taking away from the advocacy attention that it can have there, as well as some new areas of focus that have arisen since the USU's quality instruction policy was last updated, such as like more attention to educational delivery, especially online educational delivery. Is that good?
Yeah. Again, just since there's been some membership changes, I'll kind of talk about the general process too. So this is a political policy. It's a piece of major legislation. Political policies guide the students' union's advocacy to the university, different levels of government, stuff like that. Generally, to approve major pieces of legislation, there's a two-pass system at council. So first we get the general principles outlining what we want, and then the actual policy comes back for, we call it a second reading for final approval. So today is just kind of the principles of what the actual policy text will look like when it comes back to council. So with that, is there any debate or discussion regarding the first principles of the proposed quality academics policy? Last call for debates. Okay, seeing none, we'll move into a vote by hand. All those in favor of approving the first principles of the UASU's quality academics policy, please make it known by a show of hands. All those in favor. Okay, thank you. Please lower. All those opposed. Okay, with 14 votes in favor and none opposed, that policy, or sorry, the first principles pass unanimously. They'll be returned to the policy committee, which will then flesh out the actual text of the policy. So we'll come to our next motion, which is to approve the first principles of the UASU's mental health policy. Adrian, would you like to introduce this motion?
Yeah, hi folks. So similar to what we just did for the equality academics one, this first principles is for our mental health policy of the UASU, which basically determines kind of like the direction that the SU advocacy is taken with regards to matters of mental health. But yeah, that's really all I have to say about it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any debate on this motion? Any debate regarding the first principles of the mental health policy? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. The motion is to approve the first principles of the UASU's mental health policy. If you are in favor, please make it known by a show of hands. Those in favor. Okay, thank you. Please lower. Those opposed. I think Damon's a rem. Yeah. Okay. So with 14 in favor and none opposed, the first principles are approved and they will also be sent back to policy committee. So with that, we'll move on to board and committee business for today's meeting. The first motion is to approve the Students' Council composition report for 2023-24. Just given that Jacob's not a voting member, I'm going to have someone else step in as the mover. I see Levi, so we'll just make that correction. Just as a general principle, motions are made by voting members. Okay. But since it was not Levi's motion, I'll move it over to Jacob for the introduction.
I think this is just basically trying to tell us, like, how many students have filled in from each faculty, and I got like this information from like the registrar's office, and that's about it.
And I guess just to clarify, the student population informs council seat distribution. Okay. Is there any debates on this motion? This is pretty standard. It's a bylaw requirement, which is why it's coming forward. Okay, seeing none, we'll move straight into a vote. All those in favor of approving the Students' Council composition report 2023-24, please make it known by a show of hands. Those in favor. Okay, thank you. Those opposed. Okay, seeing 13 in favor and none opposed, that motion is carried. And I believe that something on docs.su has to be updated. So that will be implemented. Our next motion is the motion to approve the first principles of the UASU's Augustana campus policy. I'll turn it back over to Adrian to introduce this.
Hi again, folks. Again, same thing, but this time the policy is for the Augustana campus, which is why I love it so much. But yeah, that's really all. It's just, again, stating kind of like the advocacy takes with regards to the Augustana campus, because it is a unique demographic, just like campus St. Jean. But yeah, that's all I have to say for this one.
Thank you. Is there any debate on the first principles of the UASU's Augustana campus policy? Any debates? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of approving the first principles of the UASU's Augustana campus policy, please make it known by a show of placards. Those in favor? Okay, thank you. Please lower. All those opposed? Okay, with 12 members in favor, none opposed, that motion is carried and will also be returned to the policy committee. Okay, our final item of board and committee business is from the late additions. It's the motion to amend bylaw 6100 based on the following first principle. I don't usually read it, but it's very short, so I will. The first principle for bylaw 6100 is legislation will be amended to extend Students Council's authority to waive the referendum petition requirements in relation to dedicated fee unit proposals to include currently existing dedicated fees and recently expired dedicated fees. So I'll turn it over to Levi to introduce this motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for putting this on the agenda, given its time sensitivity, Council. So to further expand a little bit, that's what I have in the executive summary. The way the legislation is currently written, any DFU that currently exists but is running a referendum to change the terms of their agreement, whether it's changing the mandate, changing the board composition, changing the amount above CP or above or below CPI, would have to go through the petition process, just like SLS should have had to in 2022, or the Gateway should have had to in 2020. In practice, this is rarely, if ever, enforced. Neither of those two DFUs, when they were modifying the terms of their agreement, had to do that. Or rather, they had to do that, but they weren't. They got away with it. Existing DFUs have been allowed to proceed to referendum without petition at various times in the past. And while I still think that they should have to complete a petition to amend a dedicated fee, which is essentially creating a new one when already one already exists, just supplanting an existing one with a new one. I also think council should have the ability to waive that requirement if they choose to streamline the process and eliminate some red tape for those who have already come the arduous process to create one initially, while also leaving council with the ability to say no. Now, this is important because one of the dedicated fee unit referendums that will be hopefully appearing on the ballot this year would have to, as a non-current dedicated fee unit, would have to go through this petition process, but they've also had to do that once before, way back when. So we're also extending that ability to, we're going to create like a inactive type of status where, if as long as they've existed in the most recent three academic years, then this would encompass that as well. So we're hoping to do first principles today, second reading at our meeting in 2 weeks, and then the meeting after that, we would then pass the motion or put forward the motion to grant the waiver to the petition process for them, and then anybody else that would come to a to the ballot in the future for like renewals and amendments and some such, if that makes sense.
Do you think you could just quickly clarify what it means to have to do a petition?
So currently in our legislation, any interested party, whether it's for a dedicated fee unit or a student representative association, or even a non-fee related referendum. So if somebody wanted to draft a referendum saying coffee at Daily Grinder would be free, or the hours in the Students' Union building would be limited from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on every other Wednesday or whatever. Any member of the union, so any currently registered undergraduate student who's paid the SU membership fee, could submit a petition to hold a referendum, the results of which would be legally binding on the Students' Union. So something that we could decide by virtue of our authority vested by students during the electoral process, Any student could do that as well by drafting a petition and then collecting 15 signatures from 15% of members, which at our last count and based on the composition we just passed, I think came to like 5,400 students ish. Did that explain it?
Yeah, I think it just speaks to the concern has been that getting 5,400 signatures may be a significant barrier.
Right.
So, and not saying,
and while not trying to, like, I still think, like I mentioned earlier, the very first time anything has existed, it should have to go through that arduous process. But if you've done that once before and you've proven that you've done that once before, then we should be able to kind of see that and be like, well, you've already done this once before. Why make you go through that again? Or conversely, be like, no, we don't want to waive it for you this time. You have to do, we're going to make you do that again.
Okay. Thank you. Just because it's coming up, I thought the additional context would be helpful. Is there any debate on this motion? Yeah, Pedro.
Levi, really quickly, this still does not mean that necessarily, it still means that everyone, including like the Students Union Services and Operations, as well as the Sooner SRAs, as well as DFUs that have expired within the last 3 years, still have to come to council each individual time to get the approval for the waiver. And could you clarify a little bit like why that should apply to DFUs that have expired and are no longer binding? Because like, wouldn't that have meant that something has happened as to why they're no longer binding? Why is that portion included essentially? Kind of just for council.
I'd have to go back through our notes because this was a discussion we had as back as early as the summer. But it was, anybody else that was in bylaw when we talked about that remember? Okay. It was the group that was asking us to waive that, and a lot of it came down to a die board ruling from a few years ago too about who he had the ability to waive it to. And but largely, at least for this instance, it's for the recently expired group. But for the others, like the SU services and operations, that would still remain. We're not changing that at all. Yep.
Yep, go ahead.
I understand that the group was the one that requested it, but why, like, essentially, what was the reasoning for the group to not be included when the obviously you may have not have been here when the regulation was first made, but like, why do you think the regulation did not include recently expired DFUs or DFUs that have expired, and why should it necessarily include them now is the question. If that makes sense.
I was originally opposed to it to begin with. Like, this was the compromise that Mark and the rest of bylaw had, was to, rather than scrap the requirement entirely and just let previously expired breeze through with nothing, I was of the opinion that, no, you've expired, you have to start from scratch. So having it extend to recently expired was kind of the compromise, the bridge in the middle.
I don't know if this additional context is helpful, but if the Students Union doesn't adopt a specific procedure for petitions, the Post-Secondary Learning Act imposes, I think it's a 10% petition requirement. So that might speak to the original purpose of even having something like this. Any further debate on this motion? Last call for further debate. Okay, so we'll move into a vote on the motion to amend bylaw 6100 based on the following first principle. I won't read it again, it's on the order paper. All those in favor, please make it known by a show of placards or hands. Those in favor. Okay, please lower. And all those opposed. Okay, with 14 votes in favor and none opposed, that motion is carried. Like political policies, this is for a bylaw, so it will be returned to bylaw committee to be written as an actual bylaw amendment. Okay, so that brings us to the end of board and committee business. There are no general orders for today's meeting, so we are on to closed session. We do have one item in closed session, and it's the motion to discuss the council feedback form. I will need a seconder for this since it's closed session. Chris? Are you suggesting we replace our regular recess with a 10-minute? Okay. Just kind of quick straw poll. Would people prefer to take our recess now? If you could raise your hands just so I can actually see. Take it now. Yeah, I'm seeing about 50-50. Jill?
Yeah.
Jill? No, we could recess during closed. Okay. Okay. We can take two recesses too. We've moved through our meeting fairly quickly. So could I have a motion to recess for 10 minutes now? Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So a motion to take our recess, our normally scheduled recess now. Is there a motion to that effect? I see Chris and Nathan as a second. Okay. So the motion is to take our normally scheduled recess now. We'll do a quick vote on this one. If you're in favor of taking the recess now, please make it known by a show of hands. Those in favor? In favor? Okay, thank you. Those opposed? Okay, seeing 13 in favor and none opposed, that motion is carried. We'll take attendance and then we'll move into the 15-minute recess. So please don't leave just yet. Christian Foteng, Pedro Almeida,
here.
Chris Beasley, Levi Flamin,
yes.
Michael Griffiths,
here.
Stephen Rates, Precious Majeko Dumney,
present.
Helen Tam, Adrian Lam,
Mason, present.
Mason,
present.
I think I heard Mason say present. Nathan Thiessen.
Here.
Muniba Kadir.
Here.
Amir Mohammed.
Proxy present.
Damon Atwood.
Present.
Elm Alahi.
Present.
Jillian Eisenstadt.
Here.
Noor Abdelwahab.
Here.
Laurel Ford.
Here.
Megan Garbutt.
Here.
And I am present, and Jacob is present. Okay, council, so we will return at 7:18 p.m. Please be back in the chamber. We will see you shortly. Hey, Council, it is 7:18, so we'll bring the meeting back to order. I hope you enjoyed your recess. So we're at closed session. We do have a motion to discuss the council feedback form. I will need a second because it's for closed. Pedro? Okay, so the motion is to discuss the council feedback form. Just again to reiterate how this works, we'll go into a temporary closed session so you can hear why we need to go into closed, and then we'll vote on whether we should remain in closed to hear the actual item. So at this time, we'll move into the temporary closed, and I'll ask that guests are removed from the Zoom call and from the room.